First of all, can I just ask you, in your mind's eye, to picture a tree for a moment for me? I wonder what comes to mind in your imagination. Maybe you're thinking of an apple tree, or maybe it's a great oak tree. Maybe you're imagining a Californian redwood tree, or even a Christmas tree. I don't know. But I suspect that most of us, when we imagine a tree, what we think of is the bit of the tree which is above the ground. Is that right? That's what most of us think of, isn't it? When we think of what a tree is, we think of how tall it is, you know, what its leaves look like, what kind of fruit it produces, maybe if it's any good for climbing or not. And when children learn to draw a tree, what do? Brown trunk, green patch on top, probably what I would still draw for a tree, to be fair. And maybe that's true for you as well. Now, I'm not saying that we don't realize that the roots exist. Of course, I'm not saying that. But we don't think about them all that often because we can't see them unless they start, you know, pushing up holes in our driveway or breaking electrical cables or things like that. But in reality, the root system is often greater in size than what you can see above ground. I gather that sometimes the width of the roots of a tree can be 2 to 3 times the width of the crown of the tree, and often just as deep as the tree is tall. And they're not only great in size, but great in significance. And for trees, it's this hidden root system where the action is. Because it's through their roots, of course, that trees find stability and nourishment and all the sustenance that they need. Well, that is true for us as Christians too. We might want to ask questions like, are we growing and flourishing, either individually or as a church together? We might ask, what kind of fruit are we producing? But if we're interested in those things, and I think we should be, then first and foremost, we need to pay attention to what is hidden, to the part that we can't see. It's your unseen roots in Jesus Christ that count if you want to grow and thrive in his world. So as I said, our text for this morning is those two verses from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Great verses, I think, and I hope for us just to reflect on for a few minutes as I have this privilege of preaching here in St. Luke's one more time as your rector. So then, Paul writes, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. As Christians, we start by receiving Christ. We continue by having our roots in him. And the result is that we flourish in him. First of all, as Christians, we begin by receiving Christ. And for Christian believers, sounds obvious, but Jesus is our starting point and he is our everything. Sometimes people who are outside the church, they think we're a bit crazy about Jesus. To which I want to say, you've got no idea. You know, the things that you think we believe about Jesus, we believe way more than you probably imagine about him. What we believe goes way beyond what is often realized. Paul says here in verse 6 that our starting point was to receive Christ Jesus as Lord, which is a huge thing to do. But if we've taken on board what he's already said about Jesus in chapter 1, then it makes complete sense. I don't know what you thought when Dick was reading those verses from chapter 1. I don't know if you noticed the word all being repeated again and again. Just glance back to them again, 1:15 to 20. Paul writes that Jesus is the firstborn over all creation, that all things were created in him and through him and for him, that he is before all things and he holds all things together, that all the fullness of God dwells in him, and that through Jesus all things are reconciled to God through the cross. It's just so comprehensive, isn't it? If you are visiting this morning, please understand that we are not here because we think Jesus is a good or interesting teacher. I mean, he is those things. But there are many of those out there, aren't there? There are many people who I admire and respect, but I'm not planning to give my life to follow any of the others. Jesus is more than that. Verse 18 of chapter 1 kind of sums it up, where Paul writes that this is all so that in everything Jesus Christ might have the supremacy. Now, if that was said about anyone else, it would be terrifying, wouldn't it? Vladimir Putin has the supremacy. But, you know, forget famous people like that. Rob Miles had the supremacy. That would be a terrible thing. Substitute your own name in there, and the truth would be the same. But about Jesus, those are words that are reassuring and good. That's where we start. He is where our faith starts. We cannot remember it often enough or overstate his importance. You can't place any limits on Jesus. Everything that exists is his. There's nothing he doesn't know. There is nothing he lacks. There's nothing that stands in the way of his purposes. All the fullness of God dwells in him. And the great news is that in forest terms, just going back to our trees for a moment, Jesus is the soil in which we are planted as his people. And to become a Christian is to receive him as Lord, at which point he takes all that we are and he gives us all that he is and all that he has, everything in him. So that Paul can say in chapter 2, verse 10, in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. So if you want to flourish in life, start by looking to Jesus. It's my last Sunday here at St. Luke's. Maybe that there's someone who's here for the first time, or you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. I want you to know that that offer is for you. That offer of flourishing is an offer given to you by Jesus, if you will say yes to him. It's true of us as individuals. We mustn't forget it as a church collectively either. It's very easy, isn't it, in our churches to focus on our list of projects and tasks, many of which are really good things, whether it's, you know, building plans or church planting or youth ministry or whatever else we might think of. All good things. But we must always start with our relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything else flows out of that. Now, maybe that sounds obvious. What an obvious thing to say on my final Sunday. You're not getting anything original this morning. My first point essentially is don't forget Jesus. Don't forget that the gospel is about him. And I say it partly because if you've studied any church history, you will know that history is littered with churches, sometimes with denominations, where this order of priority has been forgotten and where they've become, if you like, so caught up in the trappings of their religion or their faith. Whether it's traditions or whether it's the kinds of ministries that we would say, yes, they are good things, that they first start to kind of assume that everyone knows what the gospel is without actually speaking about Jesus very much, and so then easily end up forgetting what it is they committed to in the first place. The saying goes that it only takes two generations for a church to go from preaching the gospel about Jesus to assuming the gospel of Jesus to forgetting the gospel of Jesus. Never let that happen in the churches of the Cornerstone team. On our website at St. Luke's, I think it's St. Catherine's as well, and we have a link to the Church of England Evangelical Council Basis of Faith, which was adopted by our PCCs earlier on this year as a kind of summary of what we believe. It includes these words: we gladly proclaim and submit to the unique and universal Lordship of Jesus Christ. By his atoning death and glorious resurrection, he secured the redemption of all who come to him in repentance and faith. That's our starting point, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. That's how we start. But second, we continue by being rooted in Christ. Verse 6 again, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him. Trees don't move, do they? I mean, they sway around a bit in the wind. We've seen a little bit of that this week. But, I mean, you know, if you've got an ash tree in your garden and it was there when you left to come to church this morning, you can be pretty confident it's going to be in the same place when you get home in an hour's time, can't you? Humans, however, move quite a lot. But as trees who are planted in the rich soil that is Jesus Christ as our Lord, we mustn't be tempted to move and to look for our sustenance anywhere else or in anything else. To be rooted anywhere other than Jesus is a massive downgrade. It's like going from beautiful, fertile soil into dry sand or hard clay. Now, the Bible uses all kinds of plant-based images, doesn't it, to express this to us. And we heard just one of them, Psalm 1, read a few moments ago, which pictures the righteous person as being like a tree planted by streams of water and bearing its fruit in season, flourishing and prospering. That psalm is a picture, first and foremost, of Jesus himself, the only one who is truly righteous. But it's also a picture of his people who receive him. And so we are in Christ, and what is true of him is also true of us. So we are like those trees with their roots in that good soil. In John chapter 15, you may remember Jesus speaks of himself as the vine. Slightly different use of the metaphor. And he says, you are the branches grafted into the vine. And he says, remain in me and you will bear much fruit, which is my Father's will. But it's so tempting, isn't it, to look for sustenance elsewhere. And we know it must have been a temptation in Colossae, where Paul is writing this letter to, because of some of the warnings he gives to the Christians there in chapter 2. In verse 4, he says, I tell you all this so that no one may deceive you. In verse 8, he says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. He gives some further warnings in chapter 2, in verses 16 to 19. Speaking of those who are claiming to be spiritual by the great visions they have seen, but who, he says in verse 20, changing the metaphor slightly, they've lost connection with their head, which supports the body. The principle is the same, isn't it? Trees need to be connected to their roots if they are going to grow and flourish. Our bodies need to be connected to our heads, otherwise we cannot live. And Jesus himself is, of course, described elsewhere as the head of the church, which is his body. Christians need to remain connected to Jesus, rooted in him. It's pressing our roots into Jesus that will result in fruits. I don't know if you've seen the Disney Pixar animated film Cars, which I think is getting on for 20 years old now. If you are young enough, you'll have seen it. If you are young enough to have children or young enough to be grandparents, you may well have seen it as well. It's the story of a racing car called Lightning McQueen, who is, like many characters at the beginning of animated films, quite arrogant. He thinks he knows everything and he needs to learn a little bit of humility. And part of the lesson that he needs to learn is that you have to turn right to go left. If you've seen the film, you might remember that. He thinks he knows how to get fast around a circuit, but he needs to learn that on a gravel circuit, if he wants to get around the corner fast, he's got to keep the power on, embrace the drift, and steer right to go left, and to keep on sliding round the corner. Now, turn right to go left sounds wrong, doesn't it? Sounds completely wrong. But that's what he needs to do. For Christians, we might say we need to grow down in order to grow up. We want to find success and fulfillment in life, don't we? I think most of us would say yes to that. We want to grow spiritually if we are believers. We want our church to flourish. But instead of reaching for those things and chasing after them, the first thing we need to do is press down our roots in Christ. The key to being fruitful is not, first of all, to go after the things which we think will make us happier or more popular or whatever it is. As a church, it's not to focus first on our projects and our plans, good though they may be. No, it's to sink our roots firmly into Jesus and keep them there. It's when you grow down in the hidden place that you will find you grow up and produce fruit. How do we do this? How do you have roots that are healthy and strong? Well, look how Paul continues in verse 7. He says, rooted and built up in Jesus, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. In other words, it's the teaching of Jesus through his apostles that will nourish your roots. Jesus really is enough for you, and the Bible is where you will find him. This is what he has given us, that we might know him. Striking, I think, that in the Hebrew scriptures, what we call the Old Testament, but in the Hebrew version, those scriptures are divided into three sections, what's called the law and the prophets and the writings. And the first chapter of each of those sections reminds us, gives us an encouragement to stick to what God says in his law. So Genesis chapter 1, the beginning of the law, literally the beginning of God's law. Also, of course, as you will know, begins with God speaking, "Let there be light." And the beginning of the prophets is the book of Joshua. Joshua 1, many of you might be familiar with verse 9, very popular verse about being strong and courageous. But don't forget verse 8, which comes immediately before, which says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you might be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." And the beginning of the writings, the third section of the Hebrew Scriptures, is the Psalms. And we've heard Psalm 1 already. "And the one who is planted by streams of water, who bears good fruit in season," the psalm tells us, "is the one who delights in" what? "In the law of the Lord, and who meditates on it day and night." Do you want strong, healthy roots in Christ so that you might grow? Then nourish yourselves daily with his word, with his laws, by his spirit-inspired scriptures, and you will be strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Again, I know this sounds obvious on one level. Shock as vicar preaches last sermon and reminds Christians to read the Bible. It's not going to be a headline, is it? But look around. The world is full of Christians who thought that maturity meant moving on from where we started, from where those roots were originally based, in what God has said. Again, history is full of churches where that has happened. Denominations where God's word becomes neglected so that the root systems are malnourished. This is not the time for me to get into things that are happening in the Church of England. I've spoken about some of those things in the past, as regulars will know. You do need to continue to think about them. But do remember that the current controversies in the Church of England aren't really about things like the doctrine of marriage or about human sexuality and relationships. They're about whether we're rooted in Jesus and nourished by his word or by something else. I am so thankful that I arrived at St. Luke's and found a church that wanted to hear the Bible, that wanted to be taught to study Jesus' words and be nourished by them. Don't lose that. You started by receiving Christ. You continue by being rooted in him. Last of all, the result is flourishing in Christ. It's been a privilege to be the team rector here these last few years and the team vicar for those years before that. I mean that very seriously. In this role, I've been able to work with and be supported by a fantastic team. I'm speaking about staff members, present and past, but far more than that, all those of you who have shared in partnership in the gospel here in this place, in these churches. I've had that privilege of sharing people's lives, of being able to walk with many of you, different people, sometimes quite closely in times of celebration and thanksgiving, other times when it's been sad and when it's been hard, and I've been invited in to be a part of that. And it's a real privilege. I've had the opportunity to be a leader in this church, to stand here week by week and offer some teaching. And I've had the privilege of being able to join in with some of the great things that God has done in this church and across our team. And I don't just mean some of the sort of big, obvious projects, but some of the seemingly smaller and less obvious things as well, where we've seen God at work. Leaving is strange. In many ways, it feels very hard. It would be surprising, it would be a little bit sad if it wasn't hard, wouldn't it, to be honest? I will be praying for you, even as I move on to start my new role with CPAS in a few weeks' time. And my prayer for St. Luke's and for the churches of the Cornerstone team is for your flourishing in Christ as those who have received him and remain rooted in him, that as you grow down, you would find that you are still growing up and bearing much fruit. I love the way that at the end of verse 7 here, after Paul has encouraged the church to continue to live life rooted in Jesus, strengthened in the faith as they were taught, he just adds, and overflowing with thankfulness. And because that is what thankfulness does, isn't it? It overflows. You can't manufacture it. You can't seek after thankfulness. But thankfulness is fruit. And with good soil, Jesus, and with well-watered roots by his Spirit through his word, the fruit appears. Just like it has on the apple trees in the vicarage garden over the last few weeks. We haven't done anything. But there's good soil. The rain has fallen, definitely has. The sun has shone enough, apparently. And there are apples everywhere. By the way, if you want apples in the next couple of months, do come and knock. And Mike Evans thinks they're all for him, but he can't possibly make apple crumble out of all of them, so please feel free. The promise of Jesus to you is that if you have received him, as you remain rooted in him, you will begin to overflow with that thankfulness. And the more we know him, the more there will be to be thankful for. And finally, in this, if you just look across to see what Paul prays for the Colossians. Back in chapter 1, from verse 9 onwards, he prays for fruitful lives as they grow in their knowledge of God, verse 10. He doesn't necessarily pray for easy lives, but they'll have strength to have great endurance and patience, verse 11, which maybe sounds a little bit ominous. But look, Jesus knows what to give us better than we know what to ask for. And that the fruit that he gives us will lead us, in verse 12, to give joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his people in his eternal kingdom. Which means, of course, that this joy is not just for the immediate future. It is far more than that. It's for the eternal future. And the last thing to remember here is that Christians must look to Jesus, must be rooted in him and in his word. But Christians should also be people who gaze over the horizon, into the distance, who daydream about eternity, who are looking forward to the wonder of the promises that Jesus has in store for us, when all the things which are not right in this world will be washed away at his return. And Paul writes in one of his other letters, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Stick with Jesus, stick with his word, daydream about eternity. And if it's okay, I'd like to close by making the words of Paul's prayer in Colossians chapter 1, my prayer for you all in the Cornerstone team. So let us pray. Father God, I pray for all my sisters and brothers here in these churches that have been our home these past years, that you would fill them with the knowledge of your will through all wisdom and understanding that your Spirit gives, that they may live a life worthy of the Lord and please you in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, that they may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to you, our Father, who has qualified us all who are rooted in Christ to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.